Hallelujah. Amen. The Lord reigns. Praise you, Lord. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for this time this morning. Lord, we've come to this place, a place of ministry, a place of help, a place of growing and learning in you, Lord, a place where we can be edified, comforted, and built up in love. Sometimes, Lord, we get our toes stepped on. Sometimes, Lord, you chastise us, but you chastise us because you love us, Lord. So, Lord, we receive that chastisement. We thank you for it. We thank you for your direction, your correction this morning, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, that you're the one who's in control because we've said so, Lord. So, Holy Spirit, I invite you to come right now. You order our steps in your word. You declare our thoughts and have your way. Bring our Father's will into this house and into our lives today, Lord. Father, we look for that ministry, Lord. We each need ministry, and we all need to minister to others, Lord. But we only do that by your help and by the Holy Spirit. Father, we thank you for the times of refreshing. We thank you for the refilling, Lord, of the renewing of the Holy Ghost in our lives, in Jesus' name, daily. Father, right now, I lift up Donna. We agree together as a body, Lord. We pray for Donna. We send your word to Donna and say, Donna, in the name of Jesus, be whole. You're healed because the word of God says so. You're healed because Jesus paid the price. Jesus did a complete and a finished work and took the keys of death, hell, and the grave. And now we take back the dominion that you gave us in Jesus' name. And we thank you that she's raised up right now. And we give you glory and honor and thanksgiving and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. How many here are blessed? How many here are walking in the fullness of what God has for them? I appreciate the honesty. There's some who didn't raise their hands. I know that's in your heart. Amen. But the point is that's why we come here. You know, sometimes we need to just sit back and understand why we come here, why we keep doing this. Amen. Hebrews. Amen. Well, the Hebrews 10, it says that we're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. And what that word means is that word means abandon. We're not to abandon our assembling together. There's a reason for that. God is able to minister through people. Not just the person who stands up here, but everyone. And so, if you're not here, then not only do you not get ministered to, but somebody who may need ministry from you doesn't get it either. I'm going to tell you it's what God tells us to do, so that makes it an obligation to us. You know, it's amazing how people can walk, or who claim to be Christians, or who people who claim to be people who do what God wants them to do, and yet simple things like that, they say, well, I don't need that. I don't need to do that. Well, God's wherever you are, but if God said do it and you don't do it, who are you disobeying? And why do you think God said it? Because there's good in it for you and I. Amen? Amen? So we need to be here. Now, there are circumstances that come up beyond our control. When I say beyond our control, I mean in the fact that we didn't ask for them, they just come. But where we do have controls, we can stand and say, and we can have our family, our brothers and sisters agree with us, it's not going to stand. Amen? If this is not the final outcome, this is not the end of the story. Amen? So that's why it's important to receive ministry, but also to be a minister. Amen? That's what this place is all about, is ministry. Not just sitting here hearing the word. That's a part of it, but it's only a part of it. How many would agree that there's ministry that takes place in this house? Amen? Praise the Lord. And that's the way it is. We get the opportunity to pray for one another. We get the opportunity to obey God's word. And you know what? Something may be going on in your life where God blessed you or somebody else, and you may hear a word today that will encourage you and pull you out of the place where you're at. Amen? Doesn't happen if you don't come. That doesn't mean God can't still do it for you. But his best. How many want his perfect will? I didn't say his permissible will. How many want his perfect will? Obey him in everything. Just like the word says, in everything give thanks, because this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Once again, let's don't get silly about it. We're not thanking God for the calamities in the respect that a calamity's come on us, but we thank God for the calamity in the respect that God's going to teach us something. He's going to grow us. We're going to be changed. Amen. And that's important. Praise the Lord. Having said all that, how many are ready to give God his tithes and our offerings this morning? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You know, while they're coming, I want to say something. I don't know how many ways to say this. I don't know how to say it any different than what I say it. If you need a car, and either myself or someone here gives you a car, and you accept the keys, you've received the gift. But if you don't get behind the wheel of that car, put that key in the ignition, and start that engine, that car is useless. My gift is worthless. The gift you received is worthless. That's the way it is with God. He's given us exceeding great and precious promises. He's given us the Word that makes changes and can change our lives, that can change our destiny from where we are today to tomorrow, either being blessed, just by words, or cursed. I would ask you today, every person here, examine your own heart. Where are you today? Are you where God wants you to be? Or have the words of yesterday put you in a place where you're still not quite steady on your feet? Amen. And that's the key, on your way. So when God tells us things in His Word, they're for a reason. If you don't put them into practice, if you don't put the key in the ignition of that car, or that word that God's given you, if you don't put it in practice and you don't meditate on it and you don't do it, is God responsible? Oh, y'all are way too quiet. Is God responsible? No. I sit here sometimes week after week and tell y'all, I'm not responsible for what happens after it leaves my mouth. I'm responsible for what God puts in my mouth to say it, and then what happens after that is between you and God. You have the choice. You have the choice every time we meet, every time you open the Word, to walk in it or to reject it and stay in the place where you are, or maybe backslide even. By that I mean lose ground instead of gain ground. We have to give honor to the Word. We have to put the things that God's given us into practice, or they're useless. Oh, that's wonderful, isn't that? You know, Harry, isn't, you know, Martha, isn't that wonderful, the message we heard today? And you go out of here and you don't even think about it the rest of the week. I appreciate somebody came to me this morning and said, you know, through the week, God reminds me and I meditate. I think about what you said, you know, or what's said in the pulpit. And it blesses them. But you know, that blesses me too. It blesses the person standing here in the pulpit. It's not about me. It's about you. It's like a woman or a man who lives in an abusive relationship or lives under, you know, horrendous conditions. You have a choice. You have a choice. Now, the enemy will come to you and lie to you, and he'll say, no, you don't have a choice. If you lose this, you'll lose everything. And this is your lot in life. That's a lie. We got to come to the place where we call a lie, and the truth. Amen? Amen? God's Word doesn't profit anything if it's not mixed with faith. What does that mean? That means you put it into action. And as you put it into action, not only are you claiming you believe it, but you're proving you believe it. Amen? By your actions. Actions. That's a powerful word. What do you think happens through lethargy or no action? Consider what God's done in your life. Consider the blessings that He's given and the changes that have taken place in your life. Did they come through osmosis, or did they come by you taking a hold of, grasping a hold of, and putting into practice what you've heard and what you believe, what you claim to believe? Amen. That's right, Bill. Enough. I'm not going to preach right now. But I want to encourage you today. This is a place of ministry. And I don't care if you've heard it a million times, until you get it down, you need to hear it some more. And then after you get it down, you need to hear it some more. Because why? Faith comes by what? Hearing, and hearing, and hearing, and hearing the Word of God. That's why it's a lifetime process, folks. Amen? Hallelujah. Billy, pray for us, will you?
Heavenly Father, we rejoice that our batteries never run dry when we're filled with your Holy Spirit. Amen. And Father, we are just so thankful to be here before you this morning in your house to worship you and to let you lift us up and to so that we can be the tools that you can use to further your kingdom, not only on this earth, but prepare us for your kingdom in heaven, Heavenly Father. We rejoice at this opportunity to be here. We ask you to bless this offering that we are about to receive, to multiply it. And everything belongs to you anyhow, Heavenly Father, so we're just returning what belongs to you, Father. Amen. And the more we give and return, the more you give to us. That's just the way you work things, Father. And it's such a blessing. In Jesus' most precious name, we pray these things. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Let's give God praise and worship this morning. Amen. Let's make a determination today that as ministry takes place, we're going to take it to heart. As we hear things that minister to us, we're not going to just let them slide. We're going to retain them by the help of the Holy Spirit. We're going to let Him remind us and help us put them into action. Amen. Jesus is with us. He's a co-laborer. And He'll back up any decision you make. If you don't make a decision, He's got nothing to back up, does He? Amen. Let's worship the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Father, right now we just thank you again for this time. We thank you for your word, Lord. We thank you that you, Lord Jesus, are the living word. Now again, we ask you to order our steps in your word, declare our thoughts, and we ask you, Holy Spirit, to speak to us this morning. Bring revelation and blessing and change in our lives in Jesus' name. We thank you and praise you. Amen. Hallelujah. I wanna just continue. Can we just have a heart to heart? Morning, Rob. Looking pretty sharp there, buddy. Forgot to wash his lip, but that's okay. Anyway, you know, the Scripture says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? And it seems like human nature, instead of running, and this is what happens, or what happens to, or what is in place in a person who's not a believer. But it should be out of place who is and a person who is a believer. That we cling to things that are negative, we cling to things that are detrimental to our walk, that cause us to be oppressed and heavy. When Jesus said, I have come that you might have life, and that more abundantly. So my question to myself and to all of us is, why do we hang on to the negative and to the things that don't bring any life? They bring torment. You know, somebody suggested to me, but it's a place of comfort. Whoa. If you're comfortable with negative and those things in your life, something's wrong. You're missing something in the kingdom of God. You're missing something. God said, Jesus said, in my presence is fullness of joy. So why are we down in the mully grubs? Why are we complaining? My question to us, is it because we either just plain don't believe the word, or because we are so comfortable, we really don't want to change?
It's like the child or the person, the man or the woman. You know, a guy's got an old shirt or pair of shoes, and they're just about to fall right off his feet, but they're so comfortable he doesn't want to give them up. Jesus is the Word. And the Word comes and the Word is for the renewing of our mind. Second Corinthians 5:17 says, old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. See, the enemy knows how to play with our mind. Amen? What do I mean by that? I mean, what I'm saying is, you know, we as a born-again believer, what changed us and what's brought us to the place where we accepted Jesus and we accepted the Word, received that into our lives and got changed is the fact that we heard the Word and we acted on it. We had that, and we knew inside of us that we needed something that we didn't have. We needed redemption, forgiveness, whatever you want to call it, whatever it was in your life. And so we turned to Him. And I'm reminded this morning of an old saying that says, if He's not Lord of everything in your life, then He's not Lord at all. Now that's not meant to be condemnatory. That's meant to be a wake-up call to us. I would submit to you this morning that if we hang on to the past, the things that have happened to us, and then listen to the lies, you know, and just keep focusing on what happened to us before we were saved. I thought that person was dead and gone. I thought that person was under the blood of Jesus, that they were crucified with Christ. But they live, but it's not them that lives anymore, it's Christ that lives in them. If we can grasp a hold of Galatians 2:20, where it talks about that, what that's saying is we have given up our life willingly. We have realized that we needed the Lord. We needed the forgiveness that He brought. We needed the work that happened on the cross, and we needed that blood to cover us. So that means we're translated. When we receive the Lord, what we're doing is acknowledging that Christ took all of our sin, all of our shame, all of our apprehension, all of our discomfort, all of our misgivings, and nailed them to the cross. And I want to tell you this morning, they didn't come off the cross. Jesus did. The Bible says we're buried with Him in baptism, but resurrected to newness of life. So why would you want to hold on to any part of your old life? We need to grab a hold of and walk in that abundance that God's given us. We need to let go of the former things. The Bible, you know, folks, the Word of God says, I didn't say this, the Word of God says, he who sets his hand to the plow and looks back is not fit for the kingdom of God. And right away I have to examine myself. Is there anything in my life that's holding me back? Is there anything in my life that's keeping me from walking in the abundance and the blessing of God? Am I looking backwards? Or have I set my face like a flint, moving forward, moving toward the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, pressing towards that mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus? In many of our lives, it seems like we were subject to futility, like the Scripture says. We take one or two steps forward, and then all of a sudden something happens. We go back and start dwelling on, and, you know, like just like the pig returning to the mud, you know, get all dirty again and wallow in that junk. The Bible says don't do that. Let God be true, every man a liar. Why do we fuss and fret over things we can't change and do anything about? We need to have grace, which we talked about Wednesday night, just like God has grace, has put us in a place of grace. We're in a state of grace. And if we really understand Romans, in the book of Romans, that it doesn't make any difference. We're not subject to sin anymore. Amen. You need to say amen to that. You need to get that down once for all. We are not subject to sin anymore. I was sharing with somebody this morning about the fact that, you know, there was a time when I was very, very angry at my dad. The things that had happened to me, the things that he did, the things that he didn't understand, feeling rejected, feeling like I was worthless. These are real feelings, folks. They're not true feelings, but they're real feelings. Now, when I say they're not real feelings, I'm talking about in Jesus they're not real. Amen. Amen. But you know, that's past. That's past. You see, God revealed to me. I shared this with you. You can get the CD. There are things and people, no matter who we are, no matter what position we may have or we may not have, there are things in us that we've done in the past. Those things are dead and gone if you believe the Word of God. But the thing we need to understand is just like the qualities that make up your personality and the quirks that make up your personality, there are those kind of things stimulated by your upbringing, by your education, and by the people you hang around with. My son and I were having a conversation the other day. We're talking about Mike, little Michael, my grandson. And I was really upset with the school. I really was. Here's a little boy in the first grade, 6 years old, and he comes home with two pages of four or five lines across. They were simple problems. Simple math problems. Nothing hard. But why subject a child in that grade to that kind of focus? Now, I understand, and I can hear what y'all are saying. Well, because it's going to help him in the future, and it's going to, you know, it's good for him. I understand that. But that's also stressful in the fact that here's a child who's got all this to do. You know, personally, I'm not against homework. I'm a person who believes that. You know, a little homework's good, but every day, too much. They're expecting something from a child that they shouldn't have to go through at that young age. They're still children. They still need to be children. Doesn't mean we don't need to teach them. Listen to what I'm saying. Doesn't mean we don't need to teach them. But we don't need to subject them to those same things. Anyway, going back to what I was saying. And I told my son, man, I said, I remember, I detest. That's one of the reasons I detested school, because the pressure was so great. Once again, I can say praise the Lord because I graduated on time. But I'm telling you, it was like, if you will, going through an obstacle course. The machine gun fire was going over my head. I'm climbing underneath the barbed wire and stuff. That's what it felt like. That didn't make me want to learn. That made me hate it. And you know what's amazing to me? And I can only say thank you, Lord, that right now, there are things that I have not thought about since school. And yet, all of a sudden, things that I didn't even pay attention to. And I'm telling you, I did not pay attention. Some folks might have said I was too poor to pay attention. Moving right along. But it made me hate school. I mean, you know, it wasn't going and being around the people. It was the pressure of things that I didn't understand. And But what I'm saying to you is because of God in my life, those things that I read and that I heard, all of a sudden something will come up and all of a sudden, boom, it's there. Whoa, where'd that? I remember that. I get it. I get it. I'm 61 years old and I'm just now getting it. But I got it. Amen? What I'm trying to say is, I'm trying to give you an example of, there are things that happen to people that cause people to do, you know, let me tell you another thing. When I got married, I mean, you talk about wearing rose-colored glasses. Dear God. I thought, this is it. This is it. I'm married. Whew! Got a place to live. Got a good job. We're cooking now. I even knew the Lord. And one day, my wife walks in, my children and I, and says, I want a divorce. And that thing that I thought brought great happiness really brought great joy, great sorrow and apprehension and discomfort to my life. Why? Because I was looking for fulfillment in something that could never bring fulfillment. Fulfillment only comes from God. And all I can say now is, in hindsight, if I had it to do over, I could do it better. I'm smarter now. Hello. I'm smarter now. When I went in and became a husband and then a father, I didn't know what I was doing. Did any of you? Come on now, be honest with me. Well, I can sit here today and say, but God. But God. Amen. So what I'm trying to say is, in those things, I can't go back and change that. I can only progress from where I'm at. There were things that happened to me as a child to the point where I was suicidal. I'm just going to get down nitty-gritty with you this morning, folks, family of God. I remember, I don't know if I was 16 or 18, I don't remember. My family went on vacation one time. And I remember standing there with the kitchen knife to my chest, about ready to do myself. Right there. And I couldn't do it. You know why? Because the love of God constrained me. Now I'm going to tell you something. The way that appeared was the fact that I had more love for my family than I did than putting an end to it all. I was more concerned at that moment with them than I was myself. And you can see what happened. I'm still here, huh? Praise the Lord. Say amen or oh me. Can't change the past. But if we really believe that we're new creations, we're new creatures in Christ, then the past is the past. Can't do anything about it. How many times, how many ways do we have to hear, yesterday is history. It's history. It's done. It's over with. Tomorrow is a mystery. But today is a gift. That's why they call it the present. God has done amazing, wonderful things for us. He's given us life and that more abundantly. He's given us the keys to the kingdom. He's given us the kingdom down here. He says, no good thing will I withhold from you. And yet we want to go around muddying ourselves up in that old mess of what happened to us and letting that have control of our lives. Who is in control of your life today? Is it really God? Or are you still hanging on to some of the past? And bless the Lord, for as much as I try, I cannot understand that in my life or anybody else's life. There was a woman in the Bible who, because she loved what was behind her so much, she turned back and instantaneously was turned into a pillar of salt as God was destroying the city that she loved so much, that was full of filth, corruption, sin, sickness, and disease. She longed for the former rather than the latter. She longed for what was behind her rather than what was in front of her. God's done what He says He's going to do and all He can do. But if you make a decision, you're going to do what God says. Leave those things that you can't change alone. All it is a chain or a bondage around your neck. It's weighing you down. It's keeping you from keeping your eyes on the Lord and the perspective that you are a redeemed, blood-bought, resurrected, reconciled child of God. And you can't go around with "well, but" on your lips. You can't go around. I mean, all you're doing is holding yourself back from what God's got for you. Amen. Don't do that. Listen, you and I don't know how many ways we have to hear this or how many times we have to hear it to get it, but we'll keep saying it till it finally sinks in. You can't forgive people. But you can, by the Holy Spirit, understand. You may not know why, but understand there were issues in their life. They did not know what they were doing. They made mistakes. Don't you make mistakes? Say amen. Sometimes several times a day. But the point is, if you can get past that and understand, first of all, they may not have known exactly, just like I didn't know how to be a dad and a father and a husband. But that didn't change the love I had for my wife, for my children. That didn't change the love that I had and the things that I desired, the good things for them. Did I make mistakes? Oh, yeah. Did I go overboard sometimes? Oh, yeah. Did I let my emotions get all wound up and become explosive? Yes. My kids will tell you today. Thank you, Lord. That even though I made some mistakes and even though I did things or didn't do things, either way, they love me. And it's demonstrated by the things that they say and do today. It's not that it didn't happen, but the person who did those things is dead and gone. I'm pressing to move on. I want to go on with God. I don't want to look back. I don't want to stay in the same place. I want to go and be with the Lord. And you know what? That just doesn't mean when I pass away or when God says it's time to come home, Bill. That means right now. I want to be with the Lord. I want to imitate Him. I want to look like Him. I want to have the compassion, the forgiveness, the love, the understanding that He had. He didn't look at their shortcomings. You need healing? Believe the Lord. Believe the Word. And they were healed. He didn't check their credentials. He didn't check their politics. He didn't check their education. Amen. He did what was necessary. The Scripture says, whosoever sins you retain are retained, and whosoever sins you loose are loosed. Don't try to forgive somebody. Release it to God. Release it to God. God's better qualified. Amen? Do you believe that? Hallelujah. He's better qualified. And when you do that, God can remove even the very memory of what happened. And what happens, instead of remembering the things that were all wrong, you remember the things that the person did that was right because they did love you, even though you didn't think that at the time. And of course, the enemy came right on the scene to tell you what a bad person you were, how broken and how inadequate and how useless you were. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Let God come in. And when you release those things to God, God can bring about what He needs to bring about in your life to set you free. If it's a situation that can be changed, He'll change it. He'll give grace to you and He'll give grace to the person who was there. Now, there may be some restoration required, some reconciliation, but the point is God will take care of it. But in that process, because you've released it to Him, Father, here it is. I can't do anything about it. I don't know why it happened. Lord, if I am guilty, if there was something that I brought this on myself, forgive me. But I put it in Your hands. And I walk away. I walk away knowing that God is well able. And I hear the words, "You are well able to possess the land. You are well able to take the country." Amen. And in that process, what happens is the old things that would drag you down, that would cause you to be heavy of heart, go away, and all of a sudden, again, there's newness of life. Your mind is being renewed by the Word of God because you've surrendered to His Word and you've surrendered to who and what He is. Your Savior, Your Advocate, Your King, Your Redeemer. Amen? And whom the Lord sets free is free indeed. I had a thought as I was discussing this with a few people this morning. We're all going to stand before the Lord. But the judgment that a believer stands in is not the same judgment. Again, we're under sin consciousness, not righteousness consciousness. We need to understand what the judgment is, what those two judgments are. The white throne judgment is for those who've rejected Jesus and will never have the opportunity to repent again. They're going to stand before Him as sheep before their shears, dumb, not be able to say anything. And He's going to say, "Depart from me, I never knew you." But you who are believers, in spite of your mistakes, in spite of all the things you did wrong, all the places and times you missed it, He's going to stand there and say, "Enter into my rest. Well done, good and faithful servant." He's not taking account of the things that you did wrong. You think I'm lying to you? Think I'm lying to you? If you want to turn there, turn there. If you don't, just write it down. Listen to what Jeremiah 31:34 says. This is the Old Testament. I'm going to read you the New Testament in a minute. Jeremiah 31:34. "No more shall every man teach his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, 'Know the Lord,' for they shall know me from the least of them to the greatest of them, says the Lord." Listen, listen now. "For I will forgive their iniquity and their sin I will remember no more." Now, I've heard that someplace before. How about you? When He says He removes our sin so far from us, as far as the east is from the west, and He drops it in the deepest sea, and it can't be recovered. The one sin is talking about pre-salvation. The other sin is after salvation, which is not sin. It's mistakes and growing in the Lord. Amen. Amen. That's called grace. That's what happened to the people who were sick. They found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And they received from God what they needed. Now, just so you realize, I'm not just talking about an Old Testament principle. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 10. I'm going to read I'm going to start in verse 15. But the Holy Spirit, that's Hebrews chapter 10, verse 15. But the Holy Spirit also witnesses to us, for after He had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them. A covenant. Is there anybody here who does not understand what a covenant is? God made with us a new and better covenant than what was in the Old Testament. It's a new covenant. The old is now no longer in effect. It's no longer in force. Listen. This is the covenant that I will make with them, verse 16. After those days, says the Lord, I will put my laws in their hearts and in their minds, and I will write them. And then he adds, verse 17. See it? It's right there. It says, then he adds, their sin and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. If Jesus didn't come to condemn or judge, then what right do we have to retain some little thing? And I realize to us it seemed like a big thing. But it really is a little thing in the kingdom, in the vast scheme of things. What perspective are we looking from? Are we remembering what Jesus did in our life? What God's, the blood of Jesus and what Jesus did and what God did for us? Forgiving us of all the things we did wrong, the mistakes we made? Prior to salvation, but through salvation He did away with all those things. He doesn't hold it, give an account or have an account anymore of those things. Then why would we want to retain some incident other than sensualness in our lives or carnalness? And that's what we have to crucify daily. Those carnal thoughts. You see, we need to understand, we want the forgiveness of God. We want to know that we have been redeemed from those things and we're not going to pay the consequences for it. But just the same, we cannot hold somebody else accountable for what we want to be let go from. The mistakes we've made. The things we did wrong. The things that might have hurt other people. You didn't do it deliberately. Now, maybe some folks did, but I don't believe anybody in this room, anything in their past, they did deliberately. They did it out of ignorance and out of the fact that they didn't know any better at the time. Amen? We need to have the same grace for others. Your mom and dad didn't know what they were doing when they had you and me either. Amen? Come on now. Why would we think it's any different? You know, it's amazing to me how a child, or how, even Christians, they become a Christian and they'll sit in some churches, and you know, it's like the people in Russia think we're all cowboys over here. And it's like us over here think the people in Russia are all warmongers. You know what I'm saying? Some people sit in churches and think because your man's a pastor or, you know, or a serving the Lord, that, he's arrived, he's there. And honey, all of a sudden there isn't any grace anymore. He screws up. Well, I'm just going to go. Never once considering what manner of man they were. Not having any grace for the pastor, but he's the pastor. He ought to know better. Doesn't the pastor come to church every Sunday too? And doesn't he come for the same reasons? Hopefully he comes for the same reasons you come. Amen?
Amen?
Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Is this making any sense, or am I losing some of you? So let's don't hold our parents and people around us accountable. Let's don't give that kind of control to people in our lives. What that really is, when you react to those things and you continue to remember them, is that means you've taken control from God and given control to another person that can affect your emotions at will. Now, if I walked up to you and said, "You're going to do it my way or else," and you could look me right in the eye and you may even spit in my eye and say, "Get thee behind me, Satan, or get out of my way, I'm going to knock you down." Come on, you know what I'm saying? We need to release them to God. Release the situation so we can be free. What good is it to retain the things that we can't do anything about and let them have control over our life? Is it bringing us closer to God, or is it hindering our relationship and ability to get close to God and to be like Him? Let me tell you something. If anybody had the right to have a grudge, Jesus did. And let me tell you something, you old ugly things, and I'm talking to me too. We crucified Him. We crucified Him. Amen. Amen. But He didn't have a grudge. When God says, when Peter asked the question, "How many times should I forgive?" And Jesus said, and he said, "Seven times?" Jesus said, "No, 70 times, seven times. And more if necessary." We need to understand that that forgiveness is not saying, "I forgive you." You don't have that ability. You do not. Have you ever noticed that? You tell somebody you forgive, but man, I'm telling you, that thing just kind of gnaws on you on the inside. Just kind of boils and bubbles. And you see them, and one day you may have good, and you may be sweet as pie to that person. And next time you see him, "You're good, I'm going to lay hands on him. I'm going to kill him." Now, I don't mean that maybe in a literal sense, but do you realize that you really are killing them if you're holding their misconduct against them? First of all, you've given them authority in your life they don't need to have. Do you understand what I'm saying? You're giving somebody else control of your life. And if it's a situation that can't be changed because it's now history passed away, in other words, the people who did it, again, not meaning to. See, it comes back to this statement. The Holy Spirit just reminded me of this statement. We judge others by their actions. We hold them accountable for their actions, but we want to be judged by our intentions. Never once consider that their intentions may have been good, but they didn't know how to bring it about or how to make it happen in the right way. Amen? You know what I'm talking about? Praise the Lord. Can I tell you something? You will experience freedom you have never experienced before. I mean, you think you've experienced freedom now, but you'll experience freedom and joy. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. If you will take to heart what the Word says and what God has given me to say to you today and release those people and release those things, understanding you're no different than they are. Amen. Let's don't just live in grace and walk in grace. Let's have some grace. Some mercy. Amen. And in so doing, you'll find your latter days are greater than your former days. And you'll find that God will restore those years that that cankerworm and that locust ate in your life. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I mean, you can't control it or do anything about it anyway. So what are you fussing for? What are you letting it keep coming back? Let's pray. I want you to pray with me. God's instructed me to do this, and that's why I want you to do it with me. Father, in Jesus' name, I acknowledge who I am and what I am. I acknowledge what you've done in my life. And right now, Lord, those things that have held me back, those things that have kept me and given control to things that don't need to have control in my life, I renounce, I reject, and I surrender them. I give them to you, Lord. I release them in Jesus' name. And Lord, I put it in your hands. I trust you, Lord. I thank you for redeeming me. And I thank you for redeeming the situation, whatever it is. And I proclaim in Jesus' name today, right now, I am free. I am released. And I give release to every situation from this day forward. You're in control. I trust you. I believe you. And I thank you, Lord, for setting me free. In Jesus' name. Now give Him praise and thanks. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord. Are all hearts clear? Then, Father, right now, I thank you for being here. I thank you for meeting us, Lord. I thank you for ministry that took place today, Lord. I thank you for changing hearts and lives starting right here, Lord. I love you, Lord. We love you, Lord, with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And, Lord, we're giving you control. And we're taking control away from everything and everybody else in Jesus' name. Now, Lord, bless your people as they go. We thank you for the fellowship. We ask you to sanctify the food and the fellowship, Lord. We love this opportunity, Lord, to be with your people. And, Lord, we do not forsake or abandon the assembling of ourselves together for the very reason that we've seen today. And we thank you, Lord, that in your presence, only in your presence, is fullness of joy. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. For that we give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. You are dismissed.